Parshas Chukas has within it a lot of dinim, a lot of chukim, and a few quite tragic parshas within it. And the one I like to focus on is a chet of the misoinim, a chet of the people who grumbled. And if you look in Perik Chof Aleph, this is just after the death of Aaron HaKohen. The parsha discusses in Perik Chof Aleph Pasuk Dalet, and they traveled and they went on a particular route. And the Klal Yisrael is excited to look inside because there's a lot of dukim over here. Yeah, and the Klal Yisrael spoke against Hashem and Moshe. And it's a lomo hel isonim mitzrayim lomos per midbar. Why you take us out mitzrayim to die in the midbar? There's no bread and there's no water. But nafshinu kot som lechem akleikol. I'm sick and tired of this bread. Vayishalach Hashem b'om eis hanachoshim asrofim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the fiery serpents. Now, that's the way one translation is. Another translation is nachoshim and srofim are two different kinds of poisonous reptiles. Vayinashchu esa'om, and they bit the nation. Vayomos amrov mi'Yisrael, and a great amount of people died in Klal Yisrael. Vayovei ha'om ha'moshe vayomir chatonim, they said we sinned. Ki dibarnu b'Hashem v'boch, we spoke against Hashem and you. Hispalil Hashem, daven to Hashem, vayosem alenu es nochosh, vispal Moshe v'ada'om, daven that the nochosh should leave us, and he davened. Vayem Hashem Moshe, aseilachol sorov, make yourself a sorov, sim oisal nes, put it on the nes, vayokol noshu chvoro isa v'choy, anyone who will see it will look at this this sorov on top of the stick, and they will live. Vayas Moshe nechashel cheshes, Moshe made nechashel cheshes, vayesmei ala nes, and he put it on the stick. If a person was bitten, he looked in the and he lived. Okay, this is a parasha. The parasha tells us that they grumbled. Because of their grumbling, they received a very, very harsh punishment of these fiery serpents attacking them. Many people died. They davened. They asked Moshe Rabbeinu to daven because they did tshuva. Moshe Rabbeinu davened. It was not sufficient, and he had to make on the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu this kind of sign that you look up to, this and Moshe Rabbeinu made this nochosh, and they looked up to and they lived. So there's a few very, very important horrors over here. Firstly, there's a few questions that the Nesiv HaSholem brings, the Solomon, and he says that Bechlal, the whole parasha, is a very difficult parasha. What actually did they do wrong? They never made a rebellion. In the past, they said, okay, we're not happy, let's go back to Mitzrayim, why are we to die in a midbar? They're about to make a rebellion. Over here, there's no rebellion. They just had a good grumble. Yeah, they had a good whinge. You know, why did Shem take us out over here? There's no bread, there's no water, that's it. But they didn't want to do anything. They will carry on day to day the way they are. They just had a good grumble. What is so wrong with that, that Kadosh Baruch Hu sends them such an incredibly harsh punishment of Nechoshim, and many, many people died? What's the chet of that? Why is that so bad? Secondly, he asks, in the past, every time they did Navira, Moshe Rabbeinu davened for them, and that was sufficient. Over here we find that they asked Moshe Rabbeinu to daven for them because Chotonu, they made a sin, and Moshe Rabbeinu did daven, and it wasn't enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I accept what you say, but the only way to get around this is to produce a kind of a symbol that look up to this stick where there has a snake on top, or not a stick, we'll see later on, has a snake there, and that's what's going to save them. Why do they require this extra segula, yeah, in order to be saved, rather than Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah? Also, we see somehow or another that this is connected to the death of Aaron HaKohen. If you look him back, he talks about Aaron HaKohen dying. What connection is there between this parasha of the Misoinim and the parasha of Aaron? What's the idea behind this? So, very, very interestingly, there seems to be a steer in the pasuk. Ki ein lechem ve'ein mayim. There's no bread and there's no water. I'm sick of this bread, which seems they had bread, but they're sick of the bread. What shall in lechem in mine? Says the Solomon like this. He says one of the worst things a person can possibly do is grumble against Ribbono Shel Olam. If actually I looked in the Webster, and he translates the word complain to make a formal accusation or charge. When a person complains about his situation between him and himself, in other words, he grumbles, gives a krechts, what he's doing is he's making a formal accusation or charge against Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam, you've got it all wrong. You know, they say echad and all that. I don't know about that. It's wrong. I don't deserve this. I know what I need more than you. Although they say the kol yachol, I don't know if that's the case. I know better than you. And I accuse you. J'accuse. Yeah, in very, very big headlines. I accuse you for not treating me the way I should be treated. He says, if you look in to the nisyonos of the first Jew of Avraham Avinu, there were two very, very clear sets of nisyonos. There were some nisyonos Avraham Avinu himself was meisa nefesh for. Avraham Avinu was meisa nefesh. He gave up, was willing to give up his own life for Ur Kasdim. Yeah, either serve the idols of Nimrod or get thrown into this furnace. Avraham Avinu chose to jump into the fire, to get thrown into the furnace. Avraham Avinu chose later on to be willing to slaughter his own son. That was an assign. He chose to do that. He was Moisa Nefesh. He gave up his own desire and will, and his incredible show of love and passion to Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed him to make this incredibly difficult decision. Fine. But the Mishnah says that there were 10 Nisyonos Avraham Avinu had, but Omad Bekulam, and he withstood all of them. To show how much love he had to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Some of these nisyonos were totally beyond his control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, leave your hometown, leave your family, and go to Eretz Yisrael. He goes there and there's a famine. That was beyond his control. It was not something he could control. Right? So why is that the same as choosing to throw your son, to kill your son, or choosing to jump into a fire? This was beyond his control. He goes to Mitzrayim and his wife gets snatched. He goes to Eretz Yisrael and his wife gets snatched. These are all nisyonos beyond his control. He was not able to control those circumstances. And therefore, what is the idea that Avraham Avinu went through these nisyonos to show how much love he has? He didn't have a choice. He was put in that position. So he has certain nisyonos he had a choice. Certain nisyonos never had a choice. So why are they all bundled into a nisyon that he had a choice, and it shows how much love and passion he had for Kodesh Baruch Hu, how he went through the nisyon? What's the idea? Says the Slonim Rebbe that the idea over here is that a person doesn't necessarily have to make life-changing choices in order to be considered an oyhev to Kodesh Baruch Hu, loving Kodesh Baruch Hu. If a nisoyon comes his way through circumstances he has no control over, and he takes that circumstance, he takes that nisoyon, that test, and he accepts it in a correct way, that itself is an incredible show of love to Kodesh Baruch Hu. When he was told to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he goes there, and there's a famine suddenly there, and he doesn't have any hirahurim, he doesn't start thinking, oh, Ribbono Shel Olam, come on, here I am, and doesn't start thinking about it, that itself is an assign as much as being told to take your own child and sacrifice him. It's all considered an assign. How a person runs his own life, decisions he makes, and the decisions he accepts, by a decision of Kodesh Baruch Hu he accepts in that way, is all considered by Kodesh Baruch Hu a show of love and passion, and just accepting that itself is a tremendous, tremendous source of schar for him and his family. Klal Yisrael did exactly the opposite. Klal Yisrael had every single thing they needed. They were in the Midbar. They had Moshe Rabbeinu was still alive. They were the ones who were about to go into Eretz Yisrael. They had bread. They had water. And they wanted to grumble. Not that they had nothing and didn't grumble. They had everything and they grumbled. Having everything and grumbling is completely the antithesis of what a Jew should be. And that deserves an oynish. That deserves an incredible oynish. What oynish did they get? The oynish is, the Pasuk says, that serpents came, that snakes came. Why dafka snakes? So it's brought down in the Medrash. Asid Lavi, Miskabsim Uboyis Kolachayis Itzel Hanochosh. All the animals will come to the Nochosh. Va'imrimo, and they'll say to him, Ari Deiris Va'ochal. A lion, he attacks its prey and he eats it. In other words, the reason why he kills other animals is only because he wants to eat it. He has personal pleasure, he benefits from it in order to keep himself alive. Ze'ev Teiref Va'ochal. A wolf attacks another animal and eats it. Ato, you the snake, ma hano yeshlecho. What benefit do you have by killing people with your venom? What do you benefit from that? You don't eat the people. So what benefit do you have to kill people? In fact, you have everything you need. You have offer toichel kolim echayechel. You can go anywhere you want. You have takeaway. Anywhere you want. You have food you can just eat. You don't need to go and attack anything. You have everything you need. Yet, no, I have everything I need, but I want to shoot my venom into somebody. This was Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was exactly in that position, that they had mon, and they had incredible nisim with the mon, and they had clothes that grew on them, and they had water, and had everything they needed, and they grumbled. And to grumble is to say, Rebbein Shalom, you made a mistake. It is to lodge a formal accusation or charge against Rebbein Shalom, and therefore the representation of the Oynish Milikneged Midor is that of a snake. That a snake is exactly the same, has everything, and ultimately he just wishes to spread his venom and cause trouble. But it's sometimes very, very difficult to identify, it's very difficult to see how bad it is to make a complaint. It's very difficult. A person I just said something, I grumbled. You never know where that's going to go. We never know how far that's going to cause trouble. And that's what the Pasuk said later on. It wasn't enough for Klal Yisrael to say, Chotasi, you made a mistake. They had to have a representation of a snake to look up to, the hibbit, to look at the snake and to see what they have in their life, how good their life is, how bad it is to complain. But by merely saying, yeah, I made a mistake, is not enough. The lesson will not go all the way through. And in that same vein, the Sephorno says, why was it that they got a snake that bit them? He said, because that is exactly what a snake does. A snake makes a little bite on a person. It punctures the skin in a very small place. It's not like a lion who rips a person apart. It makes a little scratch, a little mark on a person, and it looks very, very harmless. And eventually that venom goes around to the whole body and poisons the whole body and kills a person. That is a koyach of a complaint. A complaint against a rov, a complaint against Rebbein Shloilem, a complaint not in the right place is able to spread venom on the whole body and eventually destroy the institution. That is a koyach of a snake. Okay? So we discussed, why is it that it was bad? It is so bad because this is against what Jews are. Jews should not be complainers. You know, they say the joke of four old Jewish ladies go to a restaurant. And the waiter goes there, ladies, is there anything that's okay? You know, unfortunately, Jews complain, but it's against what they should be. They should be like Avram Avinu, that anything that came his way, with nothing, he never complained. And that's why the snakes were the ones who represented the Oynish, because snake has everything that yet complains. Rosham Shemfal Hish says something I said a few years back, and it's a very, very, very powerful thought. It is very, very powerful. And we see it. I discussed in the past something called menopause. Menopause. What's menopause? Okay? Very, very... It's a hasoga which is really real. In the world calls it midlife crisis. What's midlife crisis? Midlife crisis is... A child grows up. And eventually he finishes school. And he strives to enter university, and he enters university, and he gets himself a degree, and he enters into a career. He builds up a business. In that time, he's married, he's bought himself his house. Yeah, he's got a few kids and a dog, and everything's going well. His mortgage is almost paid off. Yeah, his kids each have their own room with everything they need. And he's got his nice car outside, his good family car. And then something short circuits. the same old job, with the same old people at work, with the same old wife, with the same old kids, with the same old car. Oh, how boring life is. So look for excitement. And sometimes excitement takes them to places that makes them lose their career, and sometimes makes them lose their business, and sometimes makes them lose their reputation. And they trade in the old family car for a Porsche. They're back young again. Teeth whitening, Porsche, you know, traveling the world. And they're out there to try and get back the excitement. It's menopause. They're back to the Porsche again. They're giving up the company, their very conservative company car, the hybrid, I don't know, Toyota hybrid car, and they're going there for the high speed sports car. Why? Because life is boring. And people, unfortunately, it's not necessarily secular people, it's not necessarily goyim. It is the hamoin am go through a time where ultimately life is ticking over well, Baruch Hashem, and they just are bored. Same old yeshiva, and the same old this, and same old that. What can Ribbono Shel Olam do? You want excitement? No problem. All I can do is, I can just take your heart and stop it beating for 25 seconds, for half a minute. You want excitement? Believe me, red lights down towards Yerushalayim, towards Hadassah, very exciting. You want excitement? No problem, I can make a business collapse. You want excitement? Chas v'chalil is a road accident. A person has to appreciate that what he has in his life is not because he has it and it's his and it's boring. Every moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him life. Every moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking after him and his family. He's giving him parnosa, koshka kriyas yamsuf. And therefore there are challenges. The challenge is to keep things going. The challenge is not to look for new things. The challenge is to ensure that what we have, we keep. And we have to work hard to make sure we have that. Klal Yisrael said, look at this, we're in a midbar now. The same old mon, the same old water. It's boring, where's the challenge? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I won't bring you now any supernatural disaster. In all the other times Klal Yisrael were in the midbar and they did something wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knocked them out supernaturally. He brought them a magefa, he brought them an earthquake. Yeah, there's all supernatural things. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do over here, says Shem Shem Fal Hirsh? He basically took away the protection that he's had over them till now. And since they were in the midbar, those snakes that were surrounding them and they were protected from, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his protection, and they went and attacked Klal Yisrael. When a person grumbles and complains, it's because a person does not realize how much he's being protected on a regular basis. He does not want an exciting life. There's a lot of very terrible excitements that go on around the world. A person doesn't want that. A person wants to make sure that he keeps life steady, that he earns his existence in this world. Adarabba, you want to learn extra, put more ruchnius into life, fine. But seeking out gashmius, thinking that it's all mine, where do we go from here, is a very, very dangerous game to play. Because the coach box said, think you have it all? I'll show you who controls the world. And a very small complication in the brain, or in the heart, or a little growth, can cause a person an incredible amount of excitement. And that's exactly what we don't want. So that is why Coach Baruch brought in this case a totally natural phenomena to show how we've protected even naturally. Now look in the Pesukim themselves. There's a few very, very interesting horrors over here. If you look in the parasha, it says as follows: Klal Yisrael were bitten by the snakes. Wait, so you got to look inside. It says over here: Vayomer Hashem Moshe in pasuk Ches. Vayomer Hashem Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, "Asei lecha sorof. Make for yourself a sorof." V'sim oisoi al nes, and put it on a nes. Make yourself a symbol of this serpent, this fiery serpent. V'sim oisoi al nes, and put it on the nes. Now, what is a nes? A pole. Put it on the pole. For hoya kol hanoshuch v'roya oisoi v'chai. Anyone who sees it will live. Says the next pasuk. V'yas Moshe nachash nachoshes. Moshe Rabbeinu did not make a sorof. he made a nochosh. Now, according to most mephoshim, two different things. One is a nochosh is a snake, and the sorof is another fiery serpent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to make a sorof, and he made a nochosh. Carries on the posuk, v'yasimeyu al hanes, and it put it on the nes. The hay over here is what you call the hay hayidea. Yeah, the nes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to put it on a nes, v'sim oisoi al nes, on a nes, and he put it al hanes, on the nes. What is the idea over there of the change of word? Furthermore, the whole word is extra. It could simply have said, v'yas Moshe nechash nechoshes, al nes. Moshe Rabbeinu made nechash nechoshes on a nes. The word v'yasimehu al hanes, the word v'yasimehu al on the hey al hanes is redundant. Because it simply said, like a Kosh Baruch Hu said, v'sim oisei al nes. V'yas Moshe nechash nechoshes al nes. Or, yeah, what's v'yasimehu al hanes? So the Arachayim, the Alshich, and the Shlach Kodesh, all the three Kodeshim, Kodesh, 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 yeah, they all said the same vort, that Klal Yisrael were not only complaining against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look in the Pasuk says, Vayidaber Ha'om in Pasuk Hei, Vayidaber Ha'om Be'elekim Uv'Moshe. They complained against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Later on the Pasuk as well, in Pasuk Zayin, we did something against the Kodesh Baruch Hu and you. And therefore, really, there was two elements over here that it did wrong. They spoke against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they spoke out against Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? Now, as we know, there's a very integral connection between a Kodesh Baruch Hu and Tamei Chachamim. We learn, Moir Raboch K'moir Shemayim. Your fear of your Rebbe is like your fear of Shemayim. Es Hashem Elekecha Tiro, Es Hashem Elekecha Tiro. You should fear Kodesh Baruch. What's the S coming to include? Tamei Chachamim. Go to fear Tamei Chachamim. Uboy Tid Bokun, and you should cleave to Kodesh Baruch. How do you cleave to Kodesh Baruch? By being a Farnes and being close to a Talmud Chacham. Therefore, Kodesh Baruch and Tamei Chachamim have a very integral bond. In fact, we find in many places that Kodesh Baruch cares more about the Kavod of Tamei Chachamim than he cares about his own Kavod. We find by Yerovam. Yerovam served Avodah Zorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not punish him. When Yerovam went and tried to strike the Navi, his arm withered. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares more about Talmud Chacham than he cares about himself. We, on the other hand, Tamei Chachamim, on the other hand, obviously care more about HaKadosh Baruch Hu than they care about themselves. What's the proof to this? So that the Shlach Kodesh says, if you look in Parshas Boy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a command to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Klal Yisrael to put the dam, to put the blood on the shtei mezuzos v'al hamashkif. Put it on the two mezuzos and on the mashkif, and on the lentil. On the two posts and on the lentil. Moshe Rabbeinu went and told Klal Yisrael, put it on a mashkif v'al shtei mezuzos. Put it on the lentil and then the two mezuzos. What's going on? Explains the Shlach Kodesh. The two lentils were representing Moshe and Aaron. Sorry, the two doorposts representing Moshe and Aaron, and the lentil was representing Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yeah? Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Kodesh Baruch Hu, first Moshe and Aaron, put it on the doorpost, and then put it on the lentil. Moshe Rabbeinu cares more about the Rabbeinu Shleilam's covered, and therefore he says, first put it on the lentil, then put it on two doorposts. Over here, there are two Oinshim over here. What? The two Oinshim are two punishments for two different complaints. What are two complaints? One against Moshe Rabbeinu, and one against Rabbeinu Shleilam. The complaint against Rabbeinu Shleilam was a Lashon Hara. Speaking out against Rabbeinu Shleilam is Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is represented by a Nochosh. And therefore the Nochosh over here, the reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu sent Nochoshim over here, was for the snake of the Lashon Hara spoke against Rabbeinu Shleilam. The Sarof over here was representing Tamei Chachamim like Serafim, like Malachim, like Serafim. Yeah, like fiery beings. And therefore they sent the Serafim, because Kodesh Baruch Hu sent the Serafim to represent the Oinesh of speaking out against the Melech HaChomim. That's the Serafim. So the Nochosh was against Moshe Rabbeinu, was against Rabbeinu Shleilam, and the Serafim were against against Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, when Klal Yisrael was supposed to do Tshuva, says the Alshich and the Shlach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, I worry more about the kavod of Tamid HaChachamim than my own kavod. And therefore, let Klal Yisrael focus on a sorof. Make for yourself a sorof. I care that I worry more about your kavod. And therefore, make a sorof that represents Tamid HaChachamim. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he made it, says Rabbeinu Shalom, I care more about your kavod. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu made a nachosh. So it changed from a sorof to a nachosh. Okay? Now, that's why he changed it round. Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem to put it on Nes, and Moshe Rabbeinu put it on Al HaNes. What does that mean? The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, I think it's Or HaChaim. No, it's not. It's the Al Shech says that what happened over here was Moshe Rabbeinu was told to put it on a regular pole. Moshe Rabbeinu said, if I put it on a regular pole, it's too physical. It's too about me. It's too about the Avera that was done against a human being. Rabbeinu Shalom, it's not enough. I want Klal Yisrael to focus on the sin that it did against you, Rabbeinu Shalom. What did he do? He threw up the snake into the air, and the Medrash says it was held up in the air. It was held up Al HaNes. It was held up through a miracle. It was very high up in the air. It stood up by itself. Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that this Nes should represent the sin done against Rabbeinu Shalom more than it was done against him. And therefore he made a sorof, he made a nachosh, sorry, and it was placed and held there through a nes. Okay? Now we've basically got to look inside over here. This is an unbelievable vort. It's genius. So what we're saying now is as follows. That there's an incredible avera to complain against Rabbeinu Shalom, and it's just as bad to speak out against Tamid HaChachamim. To complain against this Rav or that Rav, or oh, these Rabbonim again, or ah, yeah, there they go. That is just as bad. And a person deserves an incredibly harsh punishment if he speaks out against Tamid HaChachamim and Das Torah. Very, very important. If a person speaks out against either, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats him in a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is treated. If a person treats HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Rabbeinu Shleilam, you're testing me now. I know you're testing me. Thank you. I get the message. Chotasi, like we saw a few weeks back. Help me understand what I'm doing. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treat that person with Midas HaRachamim. If a person, as we said beforehand, if a person does not see that, if a person does not see Rabbeinu Shalom sending him a message, and he just grumbles against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to him, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treat him with Midas HaDin. How is that seen? As we know, Yudkei Vavkei is a representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in Midas HaRachamim. Okay? Yudkei Vavkei. If a person does not see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachamim in life, and he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a confused being, he does not see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as somebody who is always Rachamim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treat him in Din. Okay? Where do we see that? Says Al Shech HaKadosh. Esther had incredible tzar. She's incredible pain for Klal Yisrael. What did she say? She said, Yovoi Hamelech Vohoman Hayoim. Yovoi Hamelech Vohoman Hayoim. Let the king, Achashverosh, come and Homan today. In other words, she saw this at sorrow. She saw something had to be done. She took away her own kavod. She realized there's something wrong with Klal Yisrael, and therefore you have to be something to be mechabed even Haman in order to get through this sorrow. But it's Rabbeinu Shloim doing the right thing, and I've got to deal with it. We've got to do tshuva. Yovoi Hamelech veHaman Hayoim is Yud Kei Vav Kei. That is seeing a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the correct way, and from that time on, a Kadosh Baruch Hu was Midas Harachamim with Klal Yisrael. What did Haman say? What is Haman? Where is Haman represented in the Torah?
Hamin Ha'etz.
Hamin Ha'etz Hazeh. What a chet is that? The chet with a nochosh, you remember? Hamin Ha'etz Hazeh. What is Haman? Haman had everything. Haman at a certain stage had the tremendous wealth and power. What did he say? V'kol zeh einenu shavali. V'kol zeh einenu shavali. Zeh, the end of the word zeh, write it down there. Zeh einenu shavali. Is Hey Vav Hey Lamed. That is taking Kodesh Baruch Hu's Yudkei Vavkei and flipping in the opposite direction. Is Hey Vav Hey Lamed. Yudkei Vavkei in the wrong way. So Haman had everything. He was invited to the palace tonight, and he's got all the covered. The coal there in Enoshovali. I have nothing if I have the smallest complaint. So Esther was in the tsar, and she saw Yudkei Vavkei. And Haman had everything, and he saw Kodesh Baruch on the opposite way of Hey Vav Hey Yud. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated Esther from that stage on in Midas HaRachamim, and from that stage on he treated Haman in Midas HaDin. Okay? Now follow me here. As we mentioned beforehand, there's a few extra letters in Vayasimeyu Al Hanes. He could have simply have said, Vayas Moshe Nachash Nechoshes, Moshe made a Nachash Nechoshes, Al Nes. Vayasimeyu Al Nes, look inside over here, Posuk Tes. Vayasimeyu al nes, you see in that letter, those words yud, hey, and avov. Vayasimehu, do you see there? Yeah, yud, vayasimehu. The extra yud, hey, vov, and the next one is al hanes. The extra hey and hanes are unnecessary. So here you have yud k vov k. Says the Alshich. We have the extra word of yud k vov k to show us that we have to change from our original Aveira. What was the original Aveira, Rabbi Isai? The original Aveira was, V'hoyo, V'yas Moshe Nachash Nachosh, V'smeh L'Nes, V'hoyo, Im Noshach HaNachosh. V'hoyo is Yudke Vodke, not in the right order. So therefore, what we have to do now is change the V'hoyo, and what's V'hoyo? If you don't see a Kodesh Baruch Hu always doing the right thing, always being the Avarachamim, then in Nochash HaNachosh and snake bites you. To get around that, Vayasimeyu al Hanes, we've got to change it around and put the Yudke Vodke back into things. And therefore, we've got to take now the Midas Harachamim of Yudke Vodke and reposition it from Vahoya to Vayasimeyu al Hanes, to put it back in order of Yudke Vodke, to show that everything Kodesh Baruch Hu does is Midas Harachamim. Rabbi Aaron Belzer said that if a person grumbles and complains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you think this is bad? I'll show you what's bad. If a person has it good, he says, Rabbi Yishan, this is unbelievable, thank you so much. Rabbi Yishan thinks, you think this is good? I'll show you what's good. And this is this week's parasha. This week's parasha is not sitting there whinging and whining and grumbling when things go well. Yeah, when things don't go well, that's in the Soyan. And the koyach we have as a Jew is not to grumble, is not to complain, is to appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waking us up. There could be a kapara. If it's not in this world, it'll be in the next world. Right? And therefore, not to complain, to take like Kavam Avinu. Obviously, we daven, we don't want nisyonus. We daven not to get nisyonus. But if we do, we don't grumble and complain. That is not what a Jew is all about. And if a person does have stuff, and he does complain, then he gets a nochosh. What's a nochosh? A Kodesh Baruch Hu basically takes away his natural protection around him. And it could be Nebuch, the person can have a heart attack, the person can have a stroke, because a person does not appreciate what he has. The Baruch Haim adds, if a person looks into his life and starts appreciating what he has more, then a Kodesh Baruch Hu is able to give him Vahoya. Vahoya is Lashon Simcha. Vahoya Nochash Nachosh, if a person is able to see through Yisurin, wow, you know, a person has a toothache, and after his toothache, he says, Rabbi Yishan, thank you so much for giving me teeth. Then a person is able, it's Lashon Simcha, that every time he didn't appreciate something, and now he does appreciate it, that his Averis Nasim Sechuyas, his Averis becomes a Sechus, becomes a Simcha. And that's the idea, not to complain against Ribbono Shel Olam. A complaint is venom. It goes and destroys the institution, it destroys the person. A person is always grumbling, complaining, it kills him. Not to complain against the Tamid HaChachamim, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is careful about the Kovet of the Tamid HaChachamim like he's careful about his own Kovet. Moshe Rabbeinu was careful about Rabbeinu Shlomo, and Rabbeinu Shlomo was careful about Moshe Rabbeinu. And the idea is, as he mentioned, that to always see Rabbeinu Shlomo as Avar Rachamim, however difficult it is, it's Yudke Vovke. And we have to make sure that if we view HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yudke Vovke, that is the way he'll treat us. If we see it, there's confusion, and we see there's Rabbeinu Shlomo is not Avar Rachamim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will chas v'chalila reciprocate and treat us in Midas HaDin. Obviously, sometimes it's a hest upon him, and it's difficult to see. But I've spoken to very, very people who've been through extremely challenging times. People who never lost their whole family in the camps. And then lived through concentration camps. I spoke to a man who went through 5 different camps in the war. And his entire family was wiped out. And he said, There's not a single day that went past that he did not see the Rebbeinu Shalom helping him. That he saw how Kadosh Baruch Hu's Avarachamim. Incredible man. And today, Baruch Hashem, he's got a fantastic family and he's built up Moistus. An incredible man. But there was a day they did not see Yad Hashem. And in fact, Hashem was so kind to him, it must be a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants something from me more than everybody else in my family. I've got to give a Kadosh Baruch Hu back. That is a Jew. And that is Parshas Chukas. We may be all bezeichet, but Hashem, a very, very straightforward life, but we should appreciate what we have. The one Rebbe I once met, there was one boy who was complaining and always mumbling and complaining about his roommates and about the food and about the chavrusas. And he really, things weren't that bad. So Rebbe said, I want to take on a trip. You know, you're learning hard, I want to take on a trip. So the boy dressed in his Bermudas and, you know, he sunscreen and sunglasses. And he said, oh, Gavaldi, Rebbe's going to take me to the beach or something. The Rebbe took him to Yerushalayim, to Hadassah in Karim, to a cancer ward. So I just wanted you to stick around for 15 minutes in a cancer ward. And Nebuch, what you see in a cancer ward, you see a hestoponim. You see a hestoponim, you see little children with no hair, with no flesh in their bodies. And what, you know, what does Rebbeinu Shalom want from these children? He HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an Av HaRachamim. Rebbeinu Shalom has a purpose. Chas v'shalom, we should never see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in that light. We should always see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Av HaRachamim pouring on us of his incredible abundance of chesed. But he left the hospital and he was a different person. He appreciated life, he appreciated his family, he appreciated his position where he is in. And that is what we learn from this parasha. It's chukas ha-Torah. It's a chok. Sometimes I don't understand, but ultimately that's a Torah, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Av HaRachamim.